Well, those are some fine sounds for my ears anyway. Doug Padgett here, back at the 4 o'clock hour on Wednesday, November 7th, the day the country had the good, after the country had the good sense to stop abusing itself and to do something about its political life. So I'm back in the saddle here. I've traveled around the country and tried to do what I could to help flip Congress. And I know that all of us in the listening audience, we all did all that we could. And it worked this time. In some ways, it feels to me like the national nightmare has been responded to. I don't think the nightmare is over, but I think we're paying attention. Hey, Brett, good to chat with you again, my friend.
Yeah, good to have you back. Good to get Springsteen back on here, too.
I was missing him. Well, thank you, and thank you for saving that for just such an occasion. Hey, the other night I was in Los Angeles, and there was this church that did a thing called the Boss Mass. It was a church service before the election, all built around the music of Bruce Springsteen.
Definitely there, weren't you? Yes.
Oh, I was there. Could there be a more perfect thing for someone of my temper? So anyway, I felt great about that. Well, speaking of feeling great, I went to bed last night with a sense of great relief on my chest, that the people around the country, at least enough in the right districts, did the right thing to restrain and to resist this incompetent, dangerous, and out of control presidency, which, if there was ever a question in your mind about how important it was going to be to restrain this presidency, the way the president of the United States has responded today tells us all that we need to know. Firing Jeff Sessions, basically saying, if you investigate me, then I'm going to ask the Senate to investigate people in the House. Did you hear that line, Brett? Did you hear the president say that today?
Does that just sound like a five-year-old throwing a tantrum? Well, if you investigate me, I'll investigate you. So there.
Mm. I mean, yeah. In addition to it being, you know, the five-year-old way of viewing the world, if the president of the United States believes that there's reasons to investigate sitting House members and the president is not investigating them because they're not investigating him as the president, that is collusion. They're colluding in a cover-up. If he believes that there's something worth investigating and he says, well, if you don't investigate me, I won't investigate you, that by definition is a conspiracy. I mean, it's unbelievable, this guy who will say things like this, first as a threat that I'm just going to, because his two options are, I'm investigating you and there's not a reason to investigate you, which is an abuse of power, or I'm not investigating you and there is a reason to be investigating you. And the reason I'm not investigating you is you're not investigating me. And so now we are conspiring to not investigate one another. I mean, it's beyond amateur hour. It's you're into someone who just has no comprehension what's going on. So if this presidency was not restrained by the good people of the state of Minnesota, which, by the way, I give all the credit to the state of Minnesota for this stopping the presidency, because of the seats that flipped in this state, we'll just call those the most important ones. How many were there in the state of Minnesota, Brett, today? Were there four? Were there five? How many seats?
So the breakdown, it was 5-3 Democrats before the election. Right now it's 5-2 and then 1. That is just insanely close, CD1. I was watching that last night at midnight. It was about a 21-vote margin. Unfortunately, right now the Republican, I think, is up by about 500 votes, but that's in recount territory right there.
Yeah. Incredible. So anyway, the great state. Well, callers, I've missed you. I've been gone for about 4 weeks, and I've missed you. So if you've got some thoughts on your reflections last night, I would love to hear from you today. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are, how you've read this election. And I know there's some downside to all of it. Losing the Senate and some governorships are a big deal. But especially if you're feeling some sense of hopefulness, some sense of maybe it's going to be okay. I feel like this is just the point where now we've rounded the corner and you can start to see that there's a pathway back home to the American spirit. So be a caller here on the radio show, because I would love your encouragement. I've been traveling around the country, you know, telling people what's possible and trying to encourage them to do the right thing and trying to stir up a little bit of attention in some places where people, you know, might need a little bit of help to do that. But I know what the good listeners of AM 950 You've been paying attention all along. So we'd love to hear your stories and what you're hearing about your voting experience, what you saw in the poll at the polls yesterday, what your friends were talking about, how you're experiencing it, and what you think the future is going to require, because there's a lot of work left to do. I'll tell you that. This country's getting itself on the right foot is not going to come easily. It's going to come at the risk of a lot of work. And so there's going to be plenty for us to talk about in coming weeks. And we're going to have to work hard to hold this now House-controlled Democratic Congress to the fire, because there's no telling how easily people could drift away from doing the right thing. And for me, part of that doing the right thing is to investigate and to impeach this president. But so I'm going to be hearkening for that, but you might have some other ideas. So 952-946-6205. I know a lot of you keep that in your fave five on your cell phone, which I don't even know is still a thing. That used to be a deal. You keep your top five.
I'm aware. I used to have that. Yes.
and people would ask me sometimes, am I in your fave five? I'd say, well, no, you didn't make the top. You didn't make the top of the list. But I sure hope. But AM 950 always did. That's what I told them. I said, I'm sorry, I've got AM 950. Call 952-946-6205 plus the backup number. So I have no room for others to find their way in. But I'd love to hear what people are thinking. It's been as I mentioned, I've been traveling around telling people how I'm thinking about it, and I've always wondered how the listeners here in the great state are responding to such things. So. Give us a call. I can see the phones are already lighting up, and I'm thrilled to see that. I have so much to say and so much to talk about, but I think it's time to get a little read. And couldn't be happier than to hear from Randy in Coon Rapids. Hey, Randy, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Hello. Randy, your silence is deafening.
Oh, I'm here.
Try him now. Can you hear Randy?
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I can. Hey, Randy. How you doing today?
Hey. Well, I was just sitting here listening to you, Doug, and I'm like, Doug, did you just hear? You should play back and hear what you said. I would like to have this president investigated and impeached.
Impeached.
So what
yes.
You're just saying is, if he was investigated and found innocent, you still want him impeached.
No, investigation
so
is impeachment.
Putting the cart before the horse, and, or what's the story?
No. Okay, that good. Great question, Randy. Appreciate it. So what impeachment means is that the House of Representatives brings charges through an investigation. Then it is the Senate that has to find the charged one, in this case the president, guilty or not guilty. So impeachment means bringing charges. And then it starts the process. So if you were if you know how it works, like if somebody were indicted, you know what that's like a lot of Republicans that have been indicted. They're not found guilty until they have a trial. So it's the trial that the Senate has. So what the House needs to do, and they call that impeachment, first you investigate, then you impeach, then the Senate determines the guilt or non-guilt based on that impeachment. So President Clinton was impeached and then found not guilty by the Senate. So that's what I'm calling for. But I appreciate the clarification on that, because I don't want to make it seem like I'm jumping to...
I wanted to clarify that a little bit. Sounds like you had a pretty good night.
Well, I think the country did on this one. And I think, Randy, I would just guess that you would be someone who would appreciate a government that has the representation of both major parties across its political system instead of in one party control. My guess is, just knowing you and having chatted with you here on the show, that you'd feel good about that. So I think we could all say, hey, we're in a better position now than we were when only one party had control of the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the presidency.
You know, and I, for the most part, I think that used to be a great way to think, because it had good checks and balances.
Yep.
And it doesn't seem like that's the case anymore, because I know when Barack Obama was in there, I thought he was the worst nightmare ever. You guys loved him. And now Donald Trump's in there, and I think Donald Trump is one of the best presidents ever. You guys hate him. And it's like you're not even close to me. I'm not close to you. It's just, it's unfortunate that we're in this place, I think, for everybody on all sides, that we're so far apart. It's like we can't, I can't even see you, Doug, and I don't think you can even see me anymore. Which is just, I think, is really unfortunate. I wish things were not so one-sided, and we were a lot closer than and we could have a few differences here and there, but for the most part, we could kind of agree to disagree and maybe work on things. It just doesn't feel like our government is going to be able to work at all at this point if it continues on the way that it is. I mean, wouldn't you agree to that?
I absolutely, I'd agree with that. And I've got to tell you, I know this is going to sound just like, because the kind of thing that I would say, because I think that Donald Trump is a hazard to the well-being of this country and the world and the planet. But to hear the president today make accusations about investigations and blaming the media and saying that all the Democrats want to do is ruin your jobs and let murders in the country, that kind of thing out of our political leaders. There was a time when what the political leaders of this country had to do was to tap down the rhetoric that they were hearing from the people of this country, and their job was to rise above that rhetoric and find a way to govern. Now what's happening is someone like you and me are having to say, we wish the president would be more like me and you and would rise to our level of not being so acrimonious about things that one shouldn't be acrimonious about. I think that's the real shift.
You know, the one thing I guess I would agree, and I think a lot of the things that the president's saying, we never heard that from other presidents. I got
that's
a strange feeling a lot of other presidents, they probably thought and wanted to say the same things that he's saying and just never did. Maybe they sit him behind closed doors. And I think that's why a lot of people in America are liking Donald Trump, because he's saying the things that normally a president wouldn't say. And in some aspects, I think he's saying some things that they shouldn't probably normally say, but they should be said. And
I will just leave it at this, Randy. I think the reason that other presidents haven't said that is because your job calls you to play a role in our society beyond saying the things you want to say. If you've ever had a job, as I'm sure you have, and I have a job, there's a whole lot of times where just spouting off whatever I want is not part of my role. And this is why the man is incapable, incompetent, and unable to be in the role, because he won't do the very thing that one is supposed to do as the president. So, Randy, appreciate your call. We're going to run into a break, because you know how this works, because I know you listen to the commercials and appreciate it. We're going to be back here. And Sue and Roman, we're going to get to you here in a minute. AM 950, Progressive Voice in Minnesota. Stick with us over the break.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
It's just a few weeks before winter officially settles in. Is your home ready for the holidays? Now is the perfect time to get your entire home zero-resified by the cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get three rooms clean starting at just $149. You can also get $50 off your air duct cleaning when you call 952-0-RES, 952-0-RES, or book online anytime at zeroresmn.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we don't add a thing, just 100% pure turkey. Reserve your free range Thanksgiving turkey today for pickup at our store right on the farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our metro retail partners. Visit us at ferndalemarket.com for more information or to reserve your turkey today.
At Progressive, we think your handbag business with the reversible top-notch is top-notch. In fact, there's no other notch at the tippity top your top notch doesn't top. But even at the top, you didn't stop. You copped Progressive Business Insurance. With over 40 years of expertise helping non-stop and top-notchers notch spots at the top. Now, break out your stopwatch and hopscotch to ProgressiveCommercial.com. Because this is one opportunity you don't want to botch. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
Hey, welcome back, AM950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett in. It's 422. Not if you're driving in my car, though, Brett. I'll tell you what. You know what my car tells me? It's 522. Because for some reason, as a very capable human being in this world, I can't figure out how to set my clock back. And if any of our listeners feel the same way, you're driving home right now, you're looking at that dashboard and your clock tells you it's 522, call us over here at 952-946-6205 and join the club of people that on Wednesday, after time change Sunday, still can't figure out how to change our cars.
There's always that one clock you can't figure out. For me, it's my microwave. I can't change. It just bugs me that it has the wrong time and I don't know how to change it.
Yeah, I just think I'm just going to wait. It used to be half a year, you know, it would be half a year and half a year. But now it's different because I guess, you know, like daylight savings time is like only 4 months long now or something, some such business like that. So now I don't even know how long I have to wait until I change it back. I'd have to like do the math.
Yeah, by the time you change it, it's going to be wrong then.
I find that whole thing to be hilarious. So I think daylight savings time is nonsense, but I mean, I know it's real, but I think there's just no reason for it. But anyway, now, hey, I know that Sue has been holding on. Sue, you want to chat a little bit about Social Security?
Well, I have a compliment and a question here.
Yes,
I first want to congratulate Brett and Hunter for the fabulous job that they did last night.
I was up listening to them
until midnight, and they were funny, well-informed. I kind of felt like I was listening to old-time CCO radio, so I really want to shout out for them. They did a wonderful job. And my question is...
Hang on a minute. Is this Brett's mom calling in?
I paid Sue a little bit of money. Her check is in the mail.
And my question is, do you think with the lame duck Congress, do you think they'll try to ram through privatization of Social Security? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Well, thanks. Asia, I think what you ought to do sometime is come in to be in the studio sometime and watch Brett and Hunter work. It's a thing of beauty. I am afraid of that, actually. I think Sue's question is the right one, Brett. I don't know how you're thinking about this at the national level, and I also think about it at our state level. Like, what can the current Congress people and current state reps try to pull off in the months they have here between November and when the new state house and when the new Congress is seated? I think there could be a lot. I personally, that's why I think they fired Jeff Sessions today. I think they want all of that to happen under the old. And I'm concerned that they're going to try to, as Sue puts it, try to do some kind of privatization legislation and to get that passed. Now, normally they don't do that kind of stuff, and they hold to some decorum of not putting major legislation into a lame duck Congress. But I wouldn't put it behind. I wouldn't put it past this current House of Representatives at all to try something like that.
Oh, and Mitch McConnell too. I mean, he plays for keeps. He is the ultimate sore loser. He'll do whatever it takes to win. I just don't know if they'd be able to pass anything, because I think there's some weird rule with the filibuster where they already like used their thing where they can overrule it, or it was something with financial bills. I'm not sure. I'd have to do more research on it, but you never know what they might try, though. Yeah.
You know, we should call somebody at the Center for American Progress here in the coming weeks and check in with them and ask them about that kind of parliamentary rules and what can they and can't they do.
Yeah, because I thought they used that on the Obamacare report. When they were trying to gobble that all together in one bill. Then McCain famously voted no, where they didn't need the filibuster there because reconciliation, I think, is the name. You only get to use it once a year. It's something like that, I thought, but I could be wrong.
It's like, I mean, the rules they put in Congress, this is the part that even somebody like me who loves this stuff just drives you crazy. It's like they run it like it's some kind of house rules game, you know, game of Uno playing by house rules or some gift certificate that your parents give you from Christmas. You know, you get one time to not do your chores. Like they make up these absurd rules. I even heard President Trump say today that there's a 6-year limit on the time of that a person can serve as the chair of a committee in the House. And he was saying that's why a bunch of the committee chairs retired, because they didn't want to have to go from being a committee chair to not being a committee chair. And I didn't know that that was a Republican rule that they put on their own people, that you can only be a chairperson for 6 years. Now, that's not why they retired. They retired because they knew that they were going to lose control of the House and they didn't want to go from being a chair to being in the minority. That's why. But he sort of tried to spin it as it wasn't my fault they lost. They just did this weird thing with like committee chair rules. But that's how they've, you know, they ended up kind of monkeying with the wheels of function within the Congress. That's just a mess. Hey, we're going to get to Roman here because he's been waiting. He's in Toronto, and he's a Minnesota transplant to Toronto. Hey, Roman, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Tell you what, it's 5:22 in my car right now.
Well played, my East Coast time friend.
So, you know, way too many people voted Republican. That's very disheartening. And there's only one thing that can take the horse blinders off these people's eyes. And that's a proper economic downturn, a good one to waken these people up. That's the only thing that's going to get their attention, unfortunately. And it's either that or the alternatives are worse. If they continue the same trajectory, you'll have the country more towards a Nazi-style, totalitarian-style regime. Yep. Or a complete and utter economic downturn like the 1930s. But just a small one can waken these people up, especially in the breadbasket Midwest regions, to get our farmers to actually think what's good for the country and not what's good for their ego.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I'm afraid that you're right in this sense, too. I think that's coming. I think that the way the economy is currently structured, it's been in this sort of bull market and this kind of aggressive growth pattern for so many months now that it's just,
you know,
it's unprecedented. And I think we're going to
experience think of it like a strong offense, right? You keep chipping away at it, eventually it's going to give.
Yep.
You know,
I think you're right.
It can't go on forever.
Thank you, Roman. Appreciate the call. Hey, 952-946-6205. That gets you into the studio here. We're going to talk about the local side of this, just the Minnesota side, for the rest of the hour, because so much happened there with the flipping of the Minnesota House and with Tim Walz becoming the governor and with Keith Ellison becoming the attorney general. And I think that that sheriff race here in Hennepin County is still open. But anyway, we're going to talk about that. So if you want to talk about those pieces, be sure to give us a call, 952-946-6205, after the break.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
There are lots of ways to stay comfortable in a Minnesota winter. Hot Cocoa Warm Socks and Standard's Winter Comfort Sale, where you can save up to $2,090 on a brand new 96% energy efficient furnace. There's also great deals on a variety of other furnaces and boilers. Don't wait. Unlike winter, these deals end November 30th. Learn more about Standard's Winter Comfort Sale at standardheatingdeals.com/radio. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
I'm Connie Buerk, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living Infusion radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. If you have a desire to live a life that is more than what you are currently experiencing, if you feel stuck or experiencing health concerns, maybe you're curious about ways to improve your life, then Awakened Living Infusion radio show will give you new perspectives and ways to take steps to change your life. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into your life. For more information, visit us at awakenedlivinginfusion.com.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
November is Govember at Rudy Luther Toyota. With the end of 2018 in sight, it's time to clear out the remaining 2018 Toyotas. Rudy Luther has huge discounts on the most popular small SUV, the RAV4, and Toyota is offering a $3,000 rebate on 2018s through November. If you want a larger SUV, try the 2018 Highlander with 0% financing for 60 months. You'll also get the Holiday Station gas discount for 3 years with purchase of a new Rudy Luther vehicle. November is Govember, so get going over to Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 21. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high near 31. Friday, partly cloudy with a high near 28. And Saturday, partly sunny with a high around 29.
Lowry Hill Meats is your neighborhood full-service butcher shop. They work directly with family farmers and offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, poultry, and much more. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis. Find more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome back to 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, where the progressive candidates, at least the Democratic candidates, some of us still aren't sure that always our choice for our Democratic candidates was the most progressive, but the Democrats won. Congratulations to Governor-elect Tim Walz. Brett, I was surprised at the margin of victory. 54% to 42%, almost a 300,000 vote difference. I thought Jeff Johnson was going to mount a much more scary and close race. So congratulations to Tim Walz and his team and the good people of Minnesota to respond to the right message.
I agree. Yeah, I thought it would be a little bit closer, although I'm not shocked it got to 12 points because I know reading some stuff up towards Election Day, the Republicans were really starting to pull money out of that race, as well as Karen Housley, Tina Smith's race, and focusing more on the AG as they were kind of reading the writing on the wall. But yeah, 12 points is quite a victory for the governor.
Yeah, it's great news. Here's what surprises me about voters every time this happens. So we had two Senate races, right? Winner, Amy Klobuchar. Congratulations. Still waiting for a call back, though, Senator Klobuchar. And Tina Smith. Now, Amy Klobuchar wins 60% of the votes, 1,566,000. Tina Smith, 1,370,000. So I'm so intrigued by that 200,000 people who voted for Amy Klobuchar but didn't vote for Tina Smith, moved those votes somewhere else, did something else. Like, what you see is that some of those people who voted for Amy Klobuchar also voted for Karen Housley, right? Because the number of votes for Neuberger and the number of votes for Housley are separated by, 60,000, 70,000 votes.
I actually have a relative that did, I'm 99% sure, voted that way. He's normally a Republican, and he was saying he was going to vote for Amy Klobuchar because he likes that she's bipartisan, but I know he's strong Republican, so I wonder if he's one of those people. be interesting to ask him.
It's part of that and you know, this is it's not Randy and it's not me. I don't do this. I'm guessing Randy doesn't do this, but there's some people who do, right? They're more a candidate specific, where for someone like me, I want to use my vote as a tool to bring about certain kinds of outcomes and so on. So I tend to be committed to the party. There's some people, you know, who are more committed to the vote of the person than the vote of the party. The other one that surprises me a little bit is that in both of the Senate races, there was the legalized marijuana now candidate, Dennis Schuller, in the race that included Amy Klobuchar and Sarah Wellington. Sarah Wellington gets 95,000 votes statewide, and Dennis Schuller only gets 66,000 votes. So it makes you think, okay, there were some of those people who are like in the, I might vote for the legalized marijuana now, but first I'm going to vote for Amy Klobuchar, and then I'm going to move that vote away from Dina Smith for the marijuana now. Like those, if we could get to those people, I would love to hear the rationale. Like, what were you doing when you were in the voting booth? And one of the votes felt like, I'm not giving it to Smith. I'm going to give it to the marijuana now crowd. It's really fascinating. Hey, speaking of that, let's go right to Chris from Minneapolis, because I see that he's got a comment on legalizing cannabis. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going? I'm one of those people that like to think a little bit out of the box, I guess, with the voting. And I did throw one of my votes in to the legalized cannabis party.
Uh-huh.
But usually I do that for either the Green Party or the Cannabis Party. That's where I'm at with that.
Hey, so Chris, help me understand this. Is the Cannabis Party, is it listed as the legalized marijuana now? Is that the same group or are there two different groups?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yep. I believe it's the same group. Yeah. So, so you didn't go with the Green Party. You went with the Cannabis Party.
Yes. And over the years, I mean, I vote with the Democratic Party almost all the time. Mm-hmm. But once in a while there's a candidate from either the Green Party or, I mean, I guess I would vote independent, or, you know, socialist or, you know, but for the most part I vote Democratic. But I'm kind of, you know, one of those people that I would like to see more parties and, I support rate choice voting for sure, because that gives us more of the option to not feel like we're throwing away a vote just because, you know, it's not one of the two major parties. So wanted to hear kind of your thoughts on now that we seem to be doing better, moving the dial to the left, is it safe to talk about any of those ideas? You know, I don't want to be accused of, you know, throwing the election to the Republicans just because you know, want to vote green or want to vote anything other than Democratic, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. And actually, I'll give you my thoughts on that in a second, but I really would love to hear about the choice. When you saw that there were two people in the legalized marijuana now party, Are they radically different candidates? Dennis, I have to admit that I didn't know anything about Dennis Schuller and Sarah Wellington, both in the legalized marijuana now party, one running in Tina Smith's race that she won and one running in the race that Amy Klobuchar won. Are they radically different candidates in that, or are they really the same? Like how much variation in the legalized marijuana now party is there? Do you happen to know?
I don't. I mean, to me, it's just drawing attention to that single issue.
Sure.
I thought most of the candidates ended up endorsing the Democratic candidate. And I'm in South Minneapolis. It's very, you know, I figured all the Democrats are going to win anyways. So
yeah, that's right.
For me, it was more strategic just to draw more, you know, just to throw my hat in the ring for one of those issues that I believe strongly in, that, you know, should be legal. And
yeah, I do too. And I've got to tell you, I mean, I'm all for the legalization and the non-criminalization of marijuana. And the thing I don't understand is why Republicans are not trying to grab that that mantle and just say, we think there's too much government intervention. You know, why they're not making that argument and trying to stir up those voters and bring them over to the Republican side. They must see some numbers somewhere that tell them that's not going to work, because I could totally see Republicans trying to steal that issue.
Yeah, I could see it. Although I feel like in Minnesota, they try to take this. I don't know how they get away with it, but they try to say that they're the more, Christian or religious side. You know, that the left is the hedonistic. So they think, I don't know, maybe that's part of the rationale. If they go with legalizing pot, then that just then they throw away their high road, even though I think they threw that away a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Hey, thanks, Chris. Appreciate your commentary on that. Hey, Julie, I know you've got some comments about the suburban vote. What happened with the people that drove to the polls in their Suburbans?
Well, I thought I would just give out a small piece of information. About mm-hmm. 5 or 6 days before the election, I called the DFL office over there on Plato Avenue because I wanted to volunteer in the suburbs. You know, phone banking, they have door knocking and so forth. And I was told, we've got too many volunteers in the suburbs because of all the close races. Everybody's over volunteering in the suburbs, got too many, and we need some in Minneapolis. So I thought that was an interesting statement, considering on how blue the suburb went. It's partly the voters and partly, I think, the people that were volunteering and working really hard to make that happen. So that's kind of what I think
amazing.
About that.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I kind of feel like you do. I felt relief. I felt like, you know what? Minnesota is kind of like a little island of mm-hmm. peace. Not that you ever really have peace in politics, but mm-hmm. I just felt like I could breathe free a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Totally feel that same way. Yeah, and it was something to, I traveled around, I was in 15 different states and 31 congressional districts over the last month and a half on this big tour, and getting back here just felt, and it's partly because I love the state so much, but getting back just felt like, okay, and watching the who we voted for, how we voted, you know, I was super proud of Angie Craig, super proud of the Dean Phillips campaign for mm-hmm. ousting Eric Paulson, and just felt like the people of this state got scared, I think, at how close the presidential election was, and the progressives and the Democrats, and the non-Republican leaning peoples joined together and did the right thing across this across the state. And
I hope we can ask a quick question.
Yeah,
I'm very interested in the intersection of politics and religion, particularly Christianity in America. Did you find some people that actually thought you could be a Democrat and a Christian?
Well, that's what we toured the whole country making that claim. Yeah, we toured the whole country making that claim. But I'll tell you, it is so newsworthy that our tour had reporters from NPR, Newsweek, the New York Times, news channels from around the world, like saying that's an incredible, that exists, like thinking that's newsworthy. And one of our goals is to make the idea that people of Christian religious faith being Democrats and voting for progressive causes is no longer newsworthy. That's a lofty goal to try to make sure that people know that if you care for other people and you want a system to be working for all, that matches with a religious identity in America should not be newsworthy. But yeah, I wish it wasn't, but there's a lot of work to do. And part of it is getting people who hold that perspective to voice it a little more often. Often you get people who have hold ideas, as Chris was just saying, they try to take up the religious mantle and partner it with the Republican cause in ways that don't fit. And many people who vote for progressive causes are also motivated by faith in Muslim faith, Jewish faith, Christian faith, Baha'i faith, all kinds of faiths, but they just stay silent about it. So it's some of the work that we have to do.
Thanks, Julie.
Appreciate you listening. Yeah, well, you're welcome. And thank you for listening. Hey, Rich, we're going to get to you now because we've got a couple minutes here before going to the break, but you had a response to our friend Randy, huh?
Yeah, you know, I get a bad reaction from that guy. He called you today, of course, but he called Monday and he said that there are a couple of people that he was really afraid that if they got elected, or that they scared him. One was Keith Ellison, and then he said the one that really scared him was Walz. And the two reasons he gave were taxes and border walls. Well, you know, I bet right now he's boarding up his windows to keep the hordes of whatever they call them from coming and getting him and his wife. But he also said to you, that it's too bad that you don't think like him and he doesn't think like you, and that Obama really, you know, he thought Obama was a nightmare. And you know what? That gets to the crux of what the problem in this country is right now. We have people like Randy that think a guy like Obama is a bad man and that a guy like Trump is a good man. Well, people like Randy need a little refresher on Obama. He graduated magna cum laude from Harvard Law School, the most prestigious law school in the country. He was elected to the Harvard Law Review, the most prestigious honor any Harvard law student can get, and he's a professor of constitutional law. And when he graduated, he went and worked for a Catholic church, finding people houses and jobs. And part-time, he did the canvassing. Hence the whatever
community organizer. Community organizer.
But anyway, this guy, Donald Trump,
well, Rich,
is such a what?
Yeah, I appreciate. I was going to say we're about to push into a break here, and we have to do that. I do appreciate your comments greatly. I will say on behalf of Randy, I think what he was saying was he's a bad president. Don't want to put words in his mouth. I disagree that he was a bad president. But here's the argument I hear from a lot of people. It's one thing to be a good man. It's a different thing to be a good president. So they'll say Jimmy Carter was a great man, terrible president. Donald Trump, terrible man, good president. They're making that kind of an argument. I'm uncomfortable with that because I think that we don't just hire an executive to run our country. We actually install a lot of confidence in the person. And I think that Donald Trump is, in my view, not an honorable man. And I think he's a terrible president. But I think that's what Randy was getting at. We'll be back here after the break. And Randy from St. Cloud will get you to AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, 952-946-205.
I'm John Peterson of Ferndale Market, and I'm the third generation to grow turkeys on our family farm in Cannon Falls. We've grown them the same way since 1939, free range and without antibiotics. We're proud of the way our turkey tastes naturally, so we don't add a thing, just 100% pure turkey. Reserve your free range Thanksgiving turkey today for pickup at our store right on the farm in scenic Cannon Falls or at one of our metro retail partners. Visit us at ferndalemarket.com for more information or to reserve your turkey today.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Hey, tune into the Norman Goldman Show where justice is served live every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Today on the show, of course, we're doing a post-election wrap-up, and there is a lot to wrap up, whether it's governor's races, Senate races, who's controlling both houses of Congress. There are initiatives, so much to cover. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Tom Hartman here letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation.
Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hey, welcome back, game 950 at 4:51. Hey, Randy from St. Cloud, you've got a little comment about Tina Smith and legalizing cannabis. Can you explain? Well, maybe you can explain how people vote for one and then the other and all that for me.
Well, I did kind of the opposite of what you were seeing from the numbers. Mm-hmm. I voted for Tina Smith because I thought that was going to be very close. And I actually thought Housley was going to win, mainly because her commercials were so much better than Tina Smith.
I thought the same thing.
Her consultant was terrible. But I was pretty sure that Klobuchar was going to do what she did, which was totally kick butt, which is I voted for the legalized cannabis guy in that race just because we are insane to keep that being illegal. It's insane, and it's driving the private prison industry. Just all kinds of really bad things are happening because of that. So anyway, and I just wanted to give them a bit of a boost because I know you need 5%, which they didn't get, to make them get matching funds and campaigns in the future.
Yeah, well, thanks for trying to do your part. That's you know the insider game on how parties are funded, that they have to reach a certain level of a popular vote before they're supported by the rest of us, which is kind of it's a real chicken and egg sort of dilemma going on there. Hey, Brett, what else did we miss on the local front? I know there were a lot of house races that really mattered. Heather Idelson, my person in my district, helped flip a seat, so I felt good about that. But others that you noticed at the House level or across the state that we should be paying attention to and chatting about here on the day after?
Yeah, at the House level, of course, Democrats cleaned up in the suburbs. I think overall, Matt tabulated in the last hour, I think it was 18 seats, which was more than we were projecting last night. We were thinking more like 14, so good news there on that front, but this is the one I want to highlight because Robert Pilot with I'm Awake was big on this, and he was really emotional when he called last night and was able to report this result. Dave Hutch beat Rich Stanek for Hennepin County Sheriff, which I thought was maybe the upset of the night because Rich Stanek has been in that office forever. He was very popular, former state representative, and Dave Hutch is going to completely change the way that sheriff's office is run with temperament and everything. It's going to be quite a change.
And they were able to call that last night. I was looking at that today, and I didn't I couldn't find the confirmation on that. So that was called last night, even.
Yeah, I think the Star Tribune did late in the overnight hours. Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's that is great news because you know there's just a lot to do when it comes to our civic life together and the political side of our civic life. You just begin to realize that not only, and this is what someone like when you have such a natural disaster happening at the federal level, it just sucks up all the oxygen. But boy, this kind of thing that's happening on who the attorney general is, who the sheriffs are, that has so much to do with who gets arrested, who gets prosecuted, how money is spent, how people interact with law enforcement. And for a lot of us, law enforcement is one of the primary ways that we interact with our government, right? It's the thing that can be front and center for a lot of people in their government experience. And so it really makes a difference. And, you know, as you were saying, there are so many communities that saw just such damage that came out of Stanek's role as the sheriff, that this is really a confirmation of the needed repudiation of the way the sheriff's department was being used across this country, across the state.
Yeah, and even talking to Dave Hutch, Hunter brought up too, whenever he would call on to be a guest, just a very personable guy. He wouldn't rush right away to get on air. He'd ask, how was your day? How are you doing today? Just very personable, a guy that you can talk to just like a normal person. And he ran campaign ads here on AM 950 talking about how he wants to change the way that the sheriff's office talks to immigrants. They want reforms on crime. It's going to be a complete and, I think, a very refreshing change in Hennepin County.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, that is one that's that I think that all the rest, this is where the effect of people turning out to vote had an effect there, right? Is that people who turned out to vote also sort of tuned in that we have to do something about the sheriff's office. I was just even looking now to see what the numbers are on that. Was it, do you see them somewhere? Do you know what the numbers were in that race?
I can pull it up. I think it ended up being by about 1.5 percentage points. I'll pull it up.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I'd just love to see how many people, voted in that race, because, you know, the drop off can be pretty considerable.
Oh, right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you get to the back of that ballot where it was, you know, it looked like the Russian election for judges back there. I'm unwilling to waste the ink or to waste the lead from the or the graphite from the pencil filling out all the holes.
Yeah, here is the final percentage. I got to zoom in and make sure I'm reading this correctly. 49.92 to 49.49. I believe it was 264,521. To 262,181. So it looks like close to about a 2,500 vote margin with, what is that, a little more than 500,000 people voting in that race.
That's fantastic. And, you know, it shows that a persistent and committed messaging across a party can cause people to turn out and to vote. And this is the thing that I think some of us who care about politics need to learn from this election, is you do need a big driving force to get people to turn out. Like we all do it. And some of us who care a lot about politics will just say people should come out and vote because it's their civic duty, right? Well, for the most part, most of us don't do anything because it's our duty. We act and we behave in ways because we think that it's going to have some real impact. And if you can create a narrative that says this is how it's going to matter for you, the ramifications spread all the way across the political system. So when it comes to 2020 and 2022 and 2024, to continue the kind of effort that's going to be necessary to push hard across the system, so that people turn out and feel like there's a reason that they were doing it. I mean, I talked to people in the polling lines where I was and other people who voted, and they just felt like this vote was something that was not only demanded of them by civic responsibility, but that they wanted to do and they knew why it mattered. And that's the thing that for progressives, you have to connect together for people, is why does it matter for them? And it worked, and it's going to have great implication and great benefit across the sheriff's department. So just another piece of good news. Good one to finish on, Brett. Really appreciate that. Hey, this is AM 950. As you know, your progressive voice in Minnesota on the day after. Have a good day. Crushing the last Lord American night.